Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yeah. I feel like, not to cut you off, but I feel like that's how he, part of the reason why he got those deals, like the Puma deal.
Oh, for sure.
Because he had a million followers. Absolutely. So they're like, yeah, you're good at basketball.
Ball Bros was, the Ball Brothers are definitely up there.
It's the equivalent. Oh, there's that's a good one. It's the equivalent that of like, you have this social media availability now. There's a famous Madison Square Garden concert from like 80-something with Run DMC. Mm. They had already written the track My Adidas. They had already written that song. Mm-hmm. And they say, yo, if you got them Adidas, you know, put them in the air. Mm. And like 3/4 of the crowd takes their shoe off and puts an Adidas in the air. And the Adidas execs are there.
Right.
And they're like, oh, these dudes have influence.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That's what social media has created now, where you have a guy like Mikey Williams with a million followers or whatever it was at the time he signs the Puma deal, and it's like, yo, this kid, very literal kid, has influence.
Oh, yeah, and something that is his agent at the time told me was like, he said of all of that, like when they signed him, it was over the summer, and that was right after NIL was legalized. Mm-hmm. It's like of all the players going into the draft and free agency, NBA players, Mikey Williams would have the most marketability by whatever metric it was, followers, hits on Instagram, whatever it was. He was the most marketable player that was still available necessarily of players going into the draft and free agents, which was crazy. But like, that's real. Like even now you look at it, he has like 3 million followers on Instagram. NBA players don't have that. I doubt Keegan Murray got 3 million followers on Instagram.
Right.
There's 3 million people interested in anything that Keegan Murray is doing.
Like, you know what I mean? So, like, and so I think it's crazy that, like, that there was a market for those kids superstars. I think the reason was that there's so many kids, and I'm one, like, I'm going to be first to admit, like, I watched the overtime show that he had. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's so many kids that wanted to live that superstar lifestyle vicariously through him. And he created that, and he came up in that social media era that a lot of people latched onto.
I think I'm checking this out right now. We do some pretty damn good numbers on the ESPN Instagram with our reels and stuff like that. And the only holdup is when Fox got traded.
Mm-hmm.
We did some. It's not even close. Like when Fox got traded, we put a reel up there that did like. It's got like 10,000 views or 10,000.2 views. Mm-hmm. Mikey Williams' debut game at Hornet Pavilion is 229,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it's by far.
It's funny when I was talking to the Sac State SID before I started, and I asked him about that. I was like, you know, how many posts, how many pictures are we putting up of Mikey this year? And he's like, you know, I try to keep it a little balanced, but I know if I put Mikey in that first picture, like it's going to do so many more numbers than anything else we do.
Yeah.
I'm looking at one, and it's a half. It's a video with us and Trista talking about there's no reason that the Kings should be this bad this year. That's 96,000.
Yeah.
It's still a fraction of what Mikey's first game did.
That's crazy.
Of course, and that's not even counting all the people that stole that video.
Right. Yeah. Right. They took it for their own.
They took it as if they were there filming it. They took Leezy's content and posted it at their own.
Yeah. Which is crazy that there's
CBS did that. Oh, bitches.
Which is crazy that like so many people have followed his journey. And then when I'm able to sit with him for, it was probably like an hour and a half, I was sitting with him. And like, there was so much stuff about his story that like I didn't know, that so many people didn't know. Whether it had to do with his case, what happened after, the growing up part, like, and you know, one thing I wanted to get into, but I, you know, in the story that I, you know, we ended up not having space for, was like when that show came out, everybody like, oh, he acting ghetto, like he act like there's no ghetto in his family. He got this big house, and like there's stuff about like his dad's past and his family and the area that he grew up in that people just didn't know about, and I thought that was super interesting. It was like that idea that like we could have so many followers, people don't really know what's going on with him or his journey.
His, I learned this kind of the same way through like people who know him a little closer now. I don't know what neighborhood he lived in growing up or whatever, but he is not from
It wasn't the house that was in the Overtime show wasn't the house that he grew up in.
He is not from privilege. His circle is not that of privilege. He's, and that adds another layer to his whole story, because to a certain degree, I'm not saying everybody, but there's probably a lot of people who he's really close to, who he really trusts and love, who looked at him as the ticket. Like he was, he was the one that was gonna save the family,
right,
and take care of the whole family. And that's a before we even get into social media, that's a whole nother pressure that athletes like the Stephon Marbury's and guys
Back to Bronny, that's the response. That's something Bronny never
had.
Art, we spent a whole season talking about Arch.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Arch does not have to deal with that. There's no pressure for Arch to go to the NFL draft.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to.
Right. It's a whole nother dynamic to it, man. I wish him the best.
And like the thing about it was that people don't understand his story and didn't know as much as they did, but because he grew up in an era with social media, people felt like they knew him, and people feel like they know his story and know what he's been through, or people feel like, oh, he took a plea deal, that's an admission of guilt, and they don't know the story behind it. They don't know that he was willing to go to trial, but Penny Hardaway at Memphis was like, take a plea, let's get it behind you, come play basketball. And then the Memphis athletic director, after he took his plea deal, was like, oh, you got to wait a year. And they kind of rug pulled him in a ways. And there's so much stuff about his story that people don't know. And so that was kind of why I want to do the story. Like, people feel like they know his story and they don't really. And like, none of us do. And that's kind of like a representation of like these people that we follow on Instagram, even who have these behind the scenes shows, we don't really know them. We don't know everything. And so that's kind of wanted to kind of bring, his story to light.
Did a good job, man.
Yeah, really good job. Did really a great job.
You've been doing a good job with all your work, man. I got my athletic subscription.
I appreciate that.
Man. You're doing a fantastic job. When is your piece on the Kings coming out and how dreadful they are?
Sam Amick, he got that cut. Or Anthony Slater, he just had his piece on ESPN. I think it was yesterday. Yeah, I didn't read it yet. I meant to.
Ant's going to be with us in the 3 o'clock hour.
Yeah, he's
going to be with us at 3:20 to talk about all that.
You're a Kings fan though, right? Like, so how are you feeling about the state of this franchise? Obviously the team stinks.
Oh my God. I remember earlier in the year, it was like first when Zach LaVine went out, and it was like when they had the starting lineup graphics and it looked like Russell Westbrook was playing power forward, and it was like Dennis Schroeder. It was Schroeder, DeMar, Russ.
That might be...
I forgot who they had. It wasn't even Ray Nottis, and it might have been Domas.
It might be Eubanks, Eric, because Keegan was out.
Like, it was just looking at it. It was just like the most frustrating part was like from the outside looking in, I don't cover the team. Mm-hmm. From the outside looking in, it's like it didn't have to be this way. Mm-hmm. Like it didn't have to end up this way. And that's the most frustrating part. Like, you had a flash in the pan, and it's like, you know what? Blow it all up. Get rid of all of it. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the frustrating part. It's like it was that little flash, that little bit of hope for Kings fans and for Sacramento fans, and obviously they still showing up, but like now we just back to where we've been for my entire life, which is just
how old are you?
Irrelevant. 22.
Oh yeah, you got 1 year, pal. That's all you got 1 year.
Yeah, like I was born in 04, so it was right. It was right.
I didn't even get 02.
Yeah. Nah. So it's like what, you know.
That Ori shot means nothing to him.
So it was like man, like we had that little flash in the pan, and now we're here. It's like how we get all the way back here in a year and a half.
Started with the beam, now we're here. Damn shame. Are you a 49er fan?
Yeah.
What do you think about this weekend?
I'm hopeful.
Okay.
The problem is like, here's the thing that I'll say about this, just in general. The part that I be telling people that I think people forget, we ain't supposed to be here.
Mm.
Like, if you, like take the expectations off. You just look at the roster that we have left, we suck.
Wow.
We got third stringers on. We have no linebackers. We have me playing wide receiver. Like, there's no reason why the Niners should be here. The fact that we're here is a success to begin with, because we ain't got nobody left, right? I think with the Eagles, I think the biggest thing is, can Robert Saleh's defense get enough stops? And, like, at any point, if Brock Purdy can play like he did for the 5 weeks before that game against Seattle, I got us a chance against anybody. The Eagles' offense obviously is super shaky. They're not super consistent. So if they don't show up, and it's a dogfight down the stretch, can Brock give me one drive? Can Brock give me those two drives where he makes those plays to get us a score when we really need it most late in the game? And can the defense hold on enough, which I don't know if they can, because, again, ain't nobody left on defense. KC going to go out there and play middle linebacker for
them. I'm ready.
You know what I mean?
No,
like,
no, you're not. You want me to send? You want to bring that? Clip, you know what I mean?
He gonna send Saquon in the hole.
Hey, go get him.
Yeah, he gonna meet Saquon in the hole. But like, yes. That's what I'm saying. Nobody left. So if they can figure out a way to get us one or two stops, I think Brock
You can't say things like that on this show, dog. You hear what he said?
What?
Run that back. Where he gonna meet Saquon?
Oh no! Yeah.
Hey. Hey, that's all right. Let him go. Let him go. That's all right.
I ain't meeting him nowhere.
Hey, what Casey does at his own time, that's his business. Hey, you're gonna hear our man Devin a lot. You're gonna hear our man Devin a lot here with D'Lo and Casey. Great job covering Mikey Williams, as Casey said. Great job with all the stuff you're doing at The Athletic. And again, we're gonna work something out where we hear a lot more from you.
For sure. Y'all gonna get me to 11:40?
Just kind of the nature of things. Like, we, if you want to be paid now, the result is mm-hmm. you're gonna wind up unhappy,
okay,
and you're gonna be frustrated,
okay,
and then you're gonna call me,
yep,
and you're gonna vent,
yeah.
But just know this,
yep,
we got you.
That's it.
We got you always.
We got you always. Come on, it's home.
We got you. Yes, indeed it is. We'll come back. Man, we've got King stuff to talk about. We've got some NFL stuff to talk about. It's D'Lo and KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I'm excited. I'm drinking this disgusting protein drink because I know I'm not going to have dinner for a while. We're headed out to the Safe Credit Union Performance Center tonight for the Lion tonight. King.
Oh, yeah, let's go.
Gonna miss that Miami game tonight, but it was originally, we thought it was originally scheduled for yesterday, mm-hmm. and then I think it was last Monday, Broadway Sacramento asked if we can move it to tonight, so we're taking the girls to the Lion King tonight. And like, if you haven't looked at the productions that are coming through the Safe Credit Union Performance Center, take a look at it, man. They are incredible. The Lion King is running. It's basically sold out. Like, you can always call the box office and try to get tickets. Mm-hmm. Moulin Rouge is here, Back to the Future, Hell's Kitchen, MJ the Musical is here in April. I think there's a Beetlejuice musical that's almost completely sold out already. Yeah, man, Sacramento in their Broadway productions are turning out over here over the course of the next couple months.
That's awesome.
I'm excited for it.
That
yeah.
is awesome. I've never been to that since they remodeled
Me
everything.
Either.
I haven't been there, so
Me
I
either.
Want to check that out.
The Lion King was the very first musical I saw on Broadway. It was the very first one I saw the very first time I went to New York City. Mm-hmm. So I'm hyped that the girls will get to see this because it is quite a production.
I love it.
Like, when you sit on the aisles, they tell you, like, hey, this is a very interactive show, mm-hmm. and, like, It's dope, man. If y'all are going tonight, if anyone's going tonight, you're going to have an amazing time. It's going to be awesome. A good time tonight.
That's all. And you may miss the Miami game, but you'll be able to see the Oregon-Indiana game. That's Friday night.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be locked in for that. That how high are you on Miami?
I'm pretty high on it.
Part of me wants to say the winner of Indiana and Oregon is the national champion.
Here's my thing with Miami. And I realized when they went to Texas A&M, one thing that still holds true about the schools that at that size is when they can protect home, they good. And I look at Miami, they got them Florida boys.
Mm-hmm.
They got them athletes that can go up against anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Miami can win the whole thing. They might lose tonight, of course, but I think they can win the whole damn thing because that defense is the truth. And then you got a guy like Beck who's experienced at the quarterback position. He's been good enough not to give things away.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can win the whole thing. I think all 14.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
It's actually turned out okay. The first round was awful. But like, it's been the college football playoff been all right.
There's great football teams left. Mm-hmm. The Ole Miss story is wild. Like it's really incredible.
I need a Lane Cam.
Yeah.
I need a Lane Cam today.
No, I don't know. Is the LSU basketball are they playing tonight? Let's see. NCAA women, can I get some LSU action? LSU. Oh my God, if this dude shows up in Georgia, it's LSU at Georgia. Can you imagine that dude walking out there?
Georgia. That's crazy. Oh. But they the one of the killers with college football in this playoff situation is it's way too spread out. Like it's way too spread out. They played the conference tournament or the conference championship game on the first week of December. They're just now in the semifinals here in the middle of January, damn.
Mm-hmm.
Like they've got to fix that in some form or fashion. And it's tough because I know they don't want to go up against the NFL. So that's why they're taking time out. That's why they're playing these games on Thursday and Friday, because they don't want to go up against the NFL playoffs. But they gotta fix that a little bit.
Yeah.
I got a quick question. I know we want to talk about it, but I wanted to ask you. You would understand this.
Before you do, please, before you do, Brother Malcolm says he's taking his 12-year-old to the theater tonight. Or yeah. Malcolm, are you going tonight? He's asking if there's a dress code. There's no dress code. We might dress up, but that'll just be for fun. There's no dress code to go to the theater. Brother Malcolm, if you are at the theater tonight, I need to meet you. I need to meet Brother Malcolm from the chat. If you're going tonight, come see your boy.
Look like Kyle Max.
I gotta know. I gotta know. Man. Come see your boy tonight. That's it. That was in the chat.
I need a picture too. I gotta meet
Brother Malcolm.
We need a picture.
Yeah, man.
Just a real sidebar, just a random thing, because mm-hmm. college basketball starting to pick up. Michigan, we've talked about them, even though they barely got by Penn State the other night, have been dominating teams, winning by average like 30 points per game. Arizona last night played Kansas State, destroyed them. Both teams are undefeated. I feel, I don't think anybody beating these two teams until they play each other. Undefeated college basketball season, does that still hold weight?
Yeah.
But do you think today people are like paying attention the way it's different? But like the last team I remember that, like that was part of the storyline, was that Kentucky team.
Yeah, and they lost.
Yeah, they lost in the semis.
Yeah, that was – but that's how you remember that Kentucky team. Mm. They were undefeated, and they lost. Imagine, like, Baylor went, like, 39-0, the Brittany Griner-Baylor team. Imagine they lose that national championship game.
Mm.
That's how that Baylor team is remembered. You're – being undefeated and losing might get you remembered more than being undefeated and winning. And as I know that's terrible, but that may very well be a thing.
And that's crazy. We hadn't had an undefeated team since, what, 76? That was the undefeated
the Indiana team? Is that Indiana?
Yeah, I think it was 76.
Wow.
There's been a lot of great college basketball teams, a lot of, like, just stacked Duke teams and UConn teams. Nobody's gone undefeated. I think that might be something that helps save college basketball this season. And I'm thinking of Michigan and Arizona because they've been the two most dominant teams I've seen this year. If one of or both of them go into the tournament undefeated, that's going to raise the profile of the tournament. Because it's like, oh, snap, like we might see an undefeated team this year. I hadn't seen that at this point. It would be – I can't even count. 50, 60
If it was 76 years, yeah, it's 50 years.
Sheesh.
Yeah. Does that math work? Yeah. Yes, that's it.
Jeez. Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Yeah. That's still, I mean.
I don't think it matters the same.
The same as Indiana or the same as.
I don't even think it matters the same as Kentucky. I think it's a little less nowadays.
Okay.
Just a little bit. I think it'll still matter, though.
Did it happen too much on the women's side? Between UConn had, I think, two.
Yeah.
Baylor had one.
Did South Carolina get one? I felt like they got one.
Did they? Did they go undefeated?
Yeah, I think they got one.
Okay.
But I don't think that's the case. I just think people are just disconnected from college, men's college basketball right now because of the transfer portal and all that other stuff.
So going, you know, running through a tournament isn't unusual. Not knowing the backstory of them winning the 34 games prior, because you're just not as locked in anymore, is the problem.
But that's just a quick, that's a real quick cliff notes. Once you get to that, for yo, these guys are undefeated. They're going the PTI first take. They're trying to do something that hasn't been done in 50 years. And all of a sudden, everybody's locked in.
Good call on that, by the way. 38-0. Of course, you knew that. Why wouldn't you?
I mean,
South Carolina went 38-0 in 23-24. That was a year after they went 36-1.
Wasn't there? Maybe not. I was about to say, wasn't the loss to Caitlin? Wasn't that like their first loss in almost 2 years? Or did they have a loss that year?
The loss to Caitlin. That came in, was that, so yeah, so they went 36-1 the year prior. Then
okay. I thought they went undefeated. Gotcha.
And then they went 38-0 the next year. And then, so the year they lost to Caitlin was, yeah, I mean, it wouldn't have been 2 years, but it would have been a large chunk of games.
I definitely didn't think they were losing that game.
Dawn's won a lot of basketball games, man.
Shout out Dawn.
She's got a South Carolina win percentage of 8-1-5.
Look, the crazy thing is, that's a little lower than
15.
I thought.
15. Damn, man.
Is she going 31-5 at least every year? I thought it might have been higher.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. That's what she is. I mean, her first year there, they were, well, yeah, I mean, her first, okay, so this is just the South Carolina number. This isn't her coaching number. You know, 18 losses, 15 losses, 15 losses, 10 losses. Those were her first four seasons. Then she got into single-digit numbers. She had a 23-10 year. And then something happened. Don't know what it was. But she went 32-1 the year the tournament was canceled.
Ooh,
because of COVID.
Yeah.
And she has not lost more than five games since. And the five games was the next year. Two losses, one loss is 0-4, and they're sitting at 1 right now. If you're into that sort of thing.
Well,
whatever.
Well, the girls are they're in the Bay Area this year, or this weekend.
They are.
Yeah. I was going to try and go. My cousin has season tickets to Stanford, but it's on Sunday.
Well, oh, okay. See, I could probably say, hey, can I get some tickets for the game? Silence. They're for Kenny. And then, oh, yeah. I'll leave him at will call. Well, we're talking about Dawn. She's obviously one of the great coaches. There's a reference to Duke right there. I know their coach is great. Doug Christie is trying to coach this current Sacramento Kings basketball team. And, you know, I don't know if he's, I genuinely don't know if Doug is a good coach or not. I don't. But Jesse, I thought, asked an interesting question after Doug's remarks following the game against Dallas, which were accompanied by some remarks from DeMar DeRozan about how they were just really disorganized in the fourth quarter. James brought this up earlier. James brought this up earlier in the week. It's 50 years of NBA experience on the floor to close that game. You can't be disorganized. It wasn't Neek and Dylan and Max and a bunch of guys who've never had situations like this, clutch games like this. You have NBA players out there. You have Hall of Famers out there. You can't be disorganized in those situations. Given the current state of this basketball team, given in I'll encompass everything, the injuries that they dealt with, guys being in and out of the lineup, the obvious fact that this season is lost, like it is nothing. This season is absolutely nothing from a Sacramento Kings franchise perspective. Is this team coachable? Could we even possibly evaluate Doug Christie as a head coach with this group?
My first thought is no. And I say that not as an indictment on these individuals and these players. I'm looking more at the situation, more of the roster building. I don't think he's been put in a fair spot to be evaluated with everything that's gone on. And that's before we even talk about the injuries. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So I don't think
Keegan and Domas haven't played a single game together.
I don't think individually these players are not coachable, but I think as a collective and the way this team has been put together in the situation, Jesse talked about it at the beginning of the year, and he's proven to be spot on. These guys aren't invested at all in what this team does, as this franchise does as a whole. Yeah, they want to win from game to game, but they all are just waiting for what's next in their career. Or a lot of them are just waiting for what's next in their career. They're not invested in the outcome and what this outcome of this year and what this leads to moving forward. And that's a tough spot for Doug to be in, because Doug is invested in what's going on moving forward. And he's trying to build something that can last moving forward. But if you got a guy that's like, I don't really care what you're building, I'm not going to be here in a month.
Mm-hmm.
That's a difficult spot. So I think to answer your question, I think this group is not coachable just as a collective and because of the situation, not because of the individuals, if that makes sense.
It doesn't. Here's why I don't.
I think Dennis Schroeder is a coachable player. I think Russell Westbrook is a coachable player, Zach Levine. But
as a collective, right now, today, they're not. Yeah, is that what that's what you're saying? Yep. Okay, I got you. Okay, okay. And that was more the question. Like, DeMar doesn't get here. Russell Westbrook doesn't get here. Those you know, Domas, King, whoever, those guys don't get to this level without being coachable players. I mean, no one has ever said anything. I mean, no one has ever said anything remotely bad about either one of those individuals, DeMar DeRozan or Russell Westbrook, when it comes to a coaching standpoint. And it just feels like right now, you know, James was talking about the impact of losing. I said to you, I think I said to all of you and the insiders, I think it was during the handoff, is like, I just don't expect the Sacramento Kings to win games anymore. So like I understood Kyle's point about, you know, that Dallas game being a bad loss and, it, you know, stinging, you're in control of it. Like, how do you lose that game? I'm just numb to that. It's like, they blew it. Like, of course they did. Why wouldn't they? They've blown other games this year. They're going to blow the game at some point. And, you know, they have these runs like the Milwaukee game. You cut that 26-point deficit down to 4, 3, 2, 1, Golden 1 center's on fire. I said out loud in the moment, they're going to lose by 20. They didn't. They lost by 17. But the point was, this euphoria is going to be very short-lived. Yeah.
And
I wonder if they think the same thing. Like, you make that run, and we'll look at we'll stick with the Dallas game because it's such a different circumstance than the Milwaukee one. But you look at that Dallas game, and you're like, you're in control. All of a sudden, you're 4 or 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Dallas takes their first lead since the first quarter. And that's the, here we go. That's that moment. And it never materialized that they gave up. It didn't turn into a double-digit loss. It was basket for basket for basket for basket until things just didn't go their way on those final couple of possessions. But I just wonder if they have lost that you, like, every competitor has this you're not better than me mentality. I wonder if they've lost that.
I think they...
I can't imagine they have, but it just... I wonder.
I feel like they think they can go into any game and win, and they can beat any opponent. They don't, when they get into those situations, I don't think they have that mindset of, oh, no, we're going to pull this out. Yeah. We're going to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so, because they got nothing to draw back on. They keep losing in these situations. So until you break through that a couple of different times, it's always going to be in the back of your mind. No. Oh, man, here we go again. Or it's in the back of your mind, and then you start doing things a little erratically, or you start pressing or panicking a little bit. Oh, man, here goes the run again. I got to make sure. Let me make sure I knock down this three, because we don't want the same thing to happen again. We don't want to lose the lead again. Let me knock down this three, or, you know, let me I got to close out, you know, too hard, and I fouled a guy because I'm trying to make sure we don't give up a three. Little stuff like that, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
They're a little snake bit, this group is. Mm-hmm. It might sound like I'm giving them a pass, or I'm not trying to, but I don't think, how do I put it? They're, like you said, they're going to lose these games. They find a way to lose these games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because they're not trying. It's not because they're not listening, I think, a lot of the times. It's not because they're not together. They're just snake bit. Like, they cannot.
Well, what about, and I am posing this as a question, not a statement. What about the idea that everybody has their own way? Russ, mm-hmm. closer, Hall of Famer, legend, the whole deal. Mm-hmm. DeMar DeRozan, closer, Hall of Famer, legend, the whole deal. This is the thing that we talked about, you know, months ago, about this not being a basketball team. It's a collection of individuals. And the individuals individually are very good. Mm-hmm. The individuals as a collective, when you form them and ask them to be a collective, they're not. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that rears itself in closing moments where it's like, no, I've closed out Denver. I've closed out playoff games. DeMar, I closed out Dallas last year. I was the clutch. I was one of the best clutch players in the league for the last 2 years, 3 years at this point. Now I'm gonna do it this way. I wonder, Zach's never been that. Zach, whatever gene that DeMar and Russ have, Zach does not have that. That's not a knock. He just doesn't.
Right.
It's a knock when you are getting paid. You know, when you look at Zach LaVine in the perspective of what he's getting paid. Not everybody can do those things late in games. Not everybody wants the ball late in games. Not everybody wants to be the one to win basketball games. I don't think Zach LaVine is capable of doing that, but I believe the other two veterans are.
Yeah. And I always think about this, too, when, you know, people are talking about what they do late in games and all this other stuff. If I'm DeMar DeRozan, or if I'm just watching the games as Kenny Caraway, like, who are you going to get a ball to?
Yeah.
Fine, you don't want DeMar to go ISO at the end of the game. All right, you're going to go to Nick Clifford?
Yeah.
You're going to go to Keon Ellis? Like, they don't have these people that right. you think. Well, you want to go back to running the offense? They tried to run the offense on or run a play on that final play before.
Yeah.
And that was a disaster.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying you just say you throw your hands up and you don't try different things. I'm all for that. But – there's not a lot of options. There's not a lot of places to go in those situations late in games when the defenses start to zero in a little bit more on what you're trying to do offensively and take things away from you and force guys that usually could get wide open shots in the middle of the game for whatever reason in crunch time. It's a little more difficult for them to get a good look. So you don't want to go to DeMar DeRozan. That's fine, too. Where else you want to go? Even when Sabonis is out there, you want to go to him? No. Sabonis don't even want the ball in crunch time. He'd always give it up and tell Fox, you do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's an issue with the roster. And then you got guys like Russell Westbrook, who isn't scared of the moment, but he's hit or miss sometimes mm-hmm. with these shots.
Yeah.
So,
I think we mentioned this to James not that long ago. And, you know, with the Trae Young deal happening last night and I guess steam kind of picking up. You're starting to hear things about Anthony Davis. You're starting to hear a little bit more murmurs around the league about deals that can be done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to prepare myself for this roster being exactly the same.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I started that about 3 weeks ago.
Like, is not happening. Mm-hmm. That's not a report. That's just an opinion. Like, I don't think that move is coming. And I think some people think, oh, you got to wipe the slate. Can you just trade this, trade that, trade that? And I think Scott Perry is attempting to say as much. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, no, I'm going to be diligent. We're going to work the phones. But, you know, I think he said this, and I can't remember to who. Some of you guys think this is it's not easy. Like, it's not easy to just make a trade. You got to have willing participants and willing parties. And seeing what Trey went for, buddy, I don't think Zach LaVine could be traded. Mm. Like, unless there is a team that has really convinced themselves they just need him to do a couple of things. Obviously, I'm talking about Milwaukee because I can't think of any other team that could be. You got to have a little bit of desperation to you, and you need something very, very specific. Yeah. You need someone who can come out here and get buckets for you. Zach LaVine can do that. Don't need you to win games. Don't need you to be the star. Not asking you to be the star. We'll bench you if you attempt to be the star. Mm-hmm. But we've got enough here that where we think you could be helpful to us. Also, we're a little bit desperate. Mm. So we're going to try to make a move. It's the only way I think something can get done with Zach LaVine.
So, and here's the other killer to that. When you talk about Scott Perry, it seems like a guy that is hell-bent on getting what he perceives is maximum value for any trade.
Mm.
Like, and I'm not saying that's right or wrong or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But if you want somebody moved, he's only going to move Zach LaVine for the deal that he thinks it's worth or the market says it's worth. He's not going to do what Atlanta did for Trae Young. Like, oh, no picks, no nothing like that? Yeah. Nah, it's cool. It's cool. You guys can go ahead and do what you want to do. I think we should get a first rounder. Matter of fact, we should get an unprotected first rounder. You giving us a protected one. Nope. I think we should get an unprotected one. I'm not doing the deal. That's what it sounds like his MO is. Mm-hmm. That he is so locked into what the market is that he doesn't deviate from that at all. And because of that, that lends to the thought of like, hey, I don't think we're seeing much of anything either at this trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he might not even be willing to move on from Keon for anything less than a first rounder.
Yeah, seeing some of those. There's a couple of interesting reports out there. Of course, the Kings, I guess, are going to be tied till Jonathan Kuminga until they're not, which makes tomorrow's game maybe even a little bit more interesting. Jonathan Kuminga can't be traded tomorrow. But all parties can be present and in person to have discussion should they choose. It went great when Sacramento had that strategy with Toronto a couple of years ago.
No,
so
it was great.
Hey, there's a report they're going to meet. I think the report that it had gone bad happened before we even got off the air.
Yeah,
it's like negotiations started and ended before our show even wrapped up. We'll come back. We got to do a vibe check on KC as we head into final predictions for the Philadelphia Eagles and the San Francisco 49ers. And then we mentioned that Kings Warriors Friday night game and Jonathan Kuminga. There were more reports out there this morning. We'll dive into those. And Anthony Slater, he's going to join us coming up at about 3:20 or so. Ant-Man will be with us here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, man, I want to get back to the Kings. They play the Warriors tomorrow. There's a Jonathan Kuminga thing out there. I want to run that by you. I think this is what things are just going to be like for the next 4 weeks or so. I don't know that the Trae Young trade was a domino, but it certainly's got the insiders ready to go, and they're talking, and stuff is getting out there. But before we get back to basketball trades, all of that different stuff, reminder, Anthony Slater is going to be with us coming up in just a little bit over 30 minutes. He was doing a podcast this afternoon with Brian Windhorst. He's going to jump on as soon as he wraps that up. That's going to be right around 3:20 or so. So we're going to have some good amount of time to talk to our guy Anthony Slater from ESPN. How you feeling? We are just a couple of days away from the 49ers and the Eagles. You started at a 2. Yesterday at this time, you were at a 6.
Yeah, yeah.
Where are we at right now?
I'm still at a 6.
Okay.
I'm still at a 6. I like seeing Trent out there.
Okay.
You know, for practice, I got to really dive into at what capacity he was at practice. I would go to 7 if they told me Ricky Pearsall was at practice with the team. Said he was at practice, but he was on the side field.
Yeah, he was on the side field. In uniform?
In uniform. In uniform, but because he wasn't in there with the team,
mm-hmm.
I'm staying at 6.
Yeah, I got
you.
Would
have went to 7.
Well,
he was in there with the team.
What about Big Fella? He does not move you like he does me, huh?
Who, Trent?
Trent.
Oh, he absolutely.
He ain't even good for 6.2?
He absolutely is. Well, you know, we go with the whole numbers. I'm going with the whole numbers.
Okay, okay.
I'm going with the whole numbers.
All right.
I'm trending toward 7.
I love that we're setting standards on all of this. You'll break out an impression at the drop of a Jesse dime, but all of a sudden we can't go up to a 6.5.
Brock. To Juszczyk.
Oh, great. This is good.
Touchdown, 49ers.
All right.
What the hell, Pat?
Was that? Was that John Madden? That was terrible. Shame on you. First of all, sorry to the Madden estate for that. Goodness gracious.
Oh, man. But yeah, I need Pearsall out there and playing to make me feel even more better. But to your point about Trent, yeah, I mean, I'd love to see Trent out there. Mm-hmm. I'm just leery of how good he's going to be or how well he's going to be able to move after the hamstring.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, even if he plays, I'm like, oh.
Can I give you the positive aspect of it?
Mm-hmm.
From take exactly what you said. We know that there's going to be some very not talked about actions to get him to play.
Well,
on Sunday,
yeah.
Two,
yeah.
He ain't got to move far at that position.
That's true.
Like if you, it's not like a basketball player. Like if you know, and this is why Trent is one of the very best to ever play that position. Mm-hmm. If you gain the position, you're not moving very far.
Yeah.
So I, again, it's not my hamstring. You know what I mean. So I'm sure there will be things in place to dull the pain that he's going to be having. But if he plays, mm-hmm. but you know, in terms of movement wise, that's a small box.
Yeah.
As a small box, he's got to stay in.
You know me. And you're 100% right, but you know me, I'm always leery of the guy's back, so everything's good.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying?
It's yeah, like, of course.
He's playing, but when they would talk about Brandon Ayuk, and once they get Brandon Ayuk, even if he, without the crazy stuff aside, he was never going to help this team the way people thought. You weren't getting the Brandon Ayuk that you think this year, so I'm not even relying on that. That's not even part of my thought process with predicting what the Niners could do this year. And that's kind of how I feel about Trent Williams on Sunday. If you get him back, I just don't – I don't know what Trent you're having. He may be able to get through the game and be serviceable, but the Trent Williams that I know and love, I don't think he's going to be that. I think he just
– I understand.
He's going to be all right.
I understand. Yeah. Don't think he has to be.
That's fair, too.
I think the – just having his presence, I think that's a real thing, especially in a position group like the offensive line. Called him the connective tissue of that offensive line earlier. Like, just being there helps. I mean, to me, you know, you champion him a lot more than I do. Brody's got 50, 20, 15 triple-doubles. James Harden's best game to me was that game he played with a shredded hamstring, played the whole 48 minutes because you couldn't take him out, and every single player on that Brooklyn Nets team said just having them out there mattered. This wasn't Willis Reed limping out there and scoring 2 points or anything like that. This was James Harden playing the entire game because he had no other choice just to try to get them to a game. I think that was a game six?
Game six, yeah.
That he did, yeah. And then he basically had to do the same
game
thing again.
Game five,
and he,
I think.
Was it? Okay, yeah, then he had to do it again.
Remember, game seven was in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I know he had to do it again.
Yeah, but five is when he came back. KD goes crazy. Okay. They lose game six, and then he comes back.
Okay, got you, got you.
That was crazy.
But to me, like that means something. Mm-hmm. And when you hear his teammates talk about, yeah, like, here's what it did, and, you know, it wasn't just an emotional aspect. It was just, like, him being there. There's a force to him as a player. There's a force to Trent Williams as a player. And you have guys maybe a little bit tighter on their assignments because they know Trent's going to be able to do certain things. Or the other side to that is, hey, Trent's not going to be able to do what he normally does. Let's make sure that we're extra crisp on all of this stuff. I do think that that matters. I don't know if any of that amounts to a win. Mm-hmm. I just mean I would be much more comfortable in my stance that the 49ers are going to beat the Eagles if Trent Williams is on that offensive line.
I'm with you. Look, if he's able to go, I want him out there rather than not having him out there. That's for sure. You know, I was just real quick, I was just thinking about something, though. You mentioned Willis Reed and, you know, that famous moment.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't Jerry West just put him in a pick and roll the entire time? Did you see how he was running up and down the court? Why didn't they just ISO him every time down court?
Real hoops back then.
I was going to say two reasons. Basketball was very different back then.
Bounce pass.
Basketball was very different back then. And
the guy could not move.
Bro, they called Michael Jordan a witch for dribbling behind his back.
Oh, speaking of, hey. You see your boy Hayden?
Who?
I saw that clip. Yeah.
Who?
Did he cuss? I'll just pull it up right now.
I don't think so. Okay. I don't know. But just
it'll be funny your reaction.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
But what was the other why he pulls that up? What was the other reason why Jerry West didn't put him in a pick and roll every?
Because Jerry West has the worst nickname in the history of
professional sports. Now see that's
a God.
Mr. Clutch, more like Mr. 1-7 in the
finals. Oh, no, it's don't put worst. That on his name.
Like, Jerry would have not survived the social media era. Like, he just would not have survived.
Damn, Mr. Clutch, 1-7 in the finals. Going up against the greatest teams ever. Come on now.
Okay, all right, so for those... Okay, wait a minute. Okay, I'm starting to put it together. On the screen is DeMarcus Cousins and Isaiah Thomas. I have no idea
Isaiah
what's
Thomas
happening
Pistons,
here.
Pistons, Isaiah
Yeah,
Thomas.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yes, Kenny's favorite, Isaiah Thomas.
He was hating.
Era is considered to be the golden era. This is what I don't understand about your era, right? You guys are playing with arguably the greatest player to ever play. And excuse me when I say this, but y'all treat him like he ain't nothing. And I'm talking, wow. Y'all act like, instead of pubbing y'all era up, y'all go back and say our era was the greatest. Oh, you know, Michael Jordan was the greatest. Nobody could ever be greater than Michael Jordan, right? Okay. And then you turn around, but in your era, LeBron James sitting there, he holding every single basketball record. I mean, every single one of them. And you're looking at a Kevin Durant and you're looking at a Steph Curry. But then when y'all say who the greatest, y'all talk about the guy that gave you some shoes and, you know, gave you some warm-ups.
On this show, for the record, me Boogie and Lou will all agree that LeBron's the greatest.
No, I'm an MJ person, but Isaiah, I'm 50 years old.
That's hate, Isaiah. You're not. Why you hate no Mike like that?
Was that Beetle?
Yeah,
was that Beetle?
Yeah, Beetle, Parsons, and Cuz, and Lou Will's on there sometimes.
I don't know. Beetle looked different to me for some reason. I was like, I'm sure that was her.
Why you hate no Mike? He gave him some shoes.
Come on,
and a
man! You know why he ain't. You know why he hating on Mike, man. Come on, See. If anyone else had said that except Isaiah Thomas, it would have been fine. But it's like, oh, Isaiah said it. He hates
Isaiah's
that.
Isaiah's like, yeah, my era wasn't even that good. What did you guys do?
See, the problem with what Isaiah just did is he can't ever come back and say, well, I beat Mike, I beat Magic, yeah, I beat Larry.
Killed like, his own
you
argument.
He's crapped on your entire era of basketball. Soren says, as a glorified shoe salesman.
What? Because he gave you some shoes and warm-ups? Stop.
See, we can't hate on Isaiah Thomas for hating on Michael Jordan after Michael Jordan gave that Hall of Fame speech where he called out everybody who's ever done any perceived wrong to him.
That's true.
Is there anyone in sports now that you guys can think of that hates anyone as much as Isaiah hates Michael Jordan still?
Ooh, like good
like
one.
Any just rival, like just yeah, just that. Does that even exist anywhere else? Like Isaiah's kept this up for decades.
This is really obscure. But Oscar De La Hoya and Floyd Mayweather.
I don't think that's obscure. Like, those are two pretty big names.
Well, I was just saying, like, the nature of how much how much they hate each other. I don't think people are really tapped into, like, how much they hate each other. But they hate each other.
Okay.
And they take shots every opportunity.
Soren says, Wemby and Chet. Yeah, we don't have the longevity with that. That's on its way.
Yeah. Well, look, and that's not going anywhere. Oh, Paul Pierce and LeBron.
Oh, Paul Pierce. That's a good one. Yeah. Paul Pierce and LeBron is a good one. Mm. And I don't know if Paul Pierce hates LeBron half as much as LeBron James hates Paul Pierce.
Nice. We'll take that.
Yeah, he does. He does. He does not like that dude at all. At all.
Yeah, but Isaiah, relax. Relax, Isaiah. That's my boy. That's my boy, Isaiah Thomas, but relax. Jordan's the GOAT.
Shoe salesman and some warm-ups. That's pretty funny. I've said LeBron James is the greatest basketball player ever. I don't even know if that's true. Like, I don't know. I wasn't even watching clips of Jordan. I was cleaning up my office during the break and just looking at books. I was like, man, Mike was, goodness gracious. Because on my bookshelf are like books, but tucked into like one, when I moved, I'm sure it was the very first cross country move from California to Connecticut. I threw a lot of Sports Illustrateds away. I used to keep that. I loved keeping that stuff. Yeah. I threw all of them away unless Michael Jordan was on the cover. If Michael Jordan or Mike Tyson were on the cover, I kept them. And tucked into one of the, on the side of one of the bookshelves are those like little plastic sleeves that have, I pulled one out and it's him. It's the three with the trophy after beating Phoenix. It's the Magic and Michael one. It's the hologram one.
Yeah, the hologram.
There's a Blazers back one in there. I have I'm back. Yeah, I think that was a cartoon. Mm-hmm. Anyways, those were all the, and I just started looking at them like, yeah, he might be the greatest.
He's the one.
He might be the greatest.